if you run an offer where you don't necessarily want to be responsible for being stuck in the day-to-day every single day, and you have a desire to have a strong monthly recurring revenue that exceeds the amount of money that you, your team, and your desires in life actually need on a consistent monthly basis, and you would like to make sure that the team who are taking over the day-to-day for you are going to be there for the long term, this episode might be really, 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 really helpful for you. I'm currently in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. It is warm. It's not snowing. It's fucking fantastic. Staying in an Airbnb with Faris, who the most of you will all know as our superstar client success director, and catching up with Kyle, who is on our sales team, who is always, always, always an absolute superstar, but getting an opportunity to hang out with these guys is awesome. I've been in Canada for just over a month now. Definitely looking forward to going back to Australia and being with the family and stuff as well. But the purpose of this trip so far has just been, we're implementing a new sales program for the internal team to be able to start replicating a lot more of the actual sales reps that we're getting put on board to actually grow our community in a really, 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 really deep way. We've put a lot of work into a lot of effort. I am out here doing a whole bunch of documentation. So like, I've spent the past week sitting in a fucking room documenting and putting together my operating procedures for how I do sales, specifically to sell our offer for Carl to be trained up on and for future reps to be trained up on at the same time as well. So more to my point around the point of the podcast though, right? So last night, we actually caught up with a client. Faris and I went out to dinner with a client of ours. His name is Clay Neumeyer, runs a epic business. It's like a consulting company for electricians, actually. Funnily enough, he just so happened to be about an hour away from us. So we went out to dinner last night. It was epic. We started by smoking a whole lot of hookah and a whole lot of shisha. Clay had never done it before, so that was a fun experience for him. And then we went and had a whole bunch of beers and ate some, what did I have? It was like Cajun chicken and a whole bunch of sweet potato fries, then had some cheesecake after, so it was a bit of a fat shit. But just like most times when I get the privilege of hanging out with the clients that we've invested a lot of time into, just by nature of being in the same place as they are at some point in time, right? So we were in Vancouver, so we caught up with Clay. It's, as a sidebar, it's been an absolute pleasure working with this guy too, right? I think when he first started working with us, he was like 20 grand a month. They're up at like 65K collected in May. So that happened in like 16 weeks. So it was really, 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 really cool to see. But usually what happens when I catch up with clients, it's really hard for it to not to turn into some form of consulting, if that makes sense, right? Because the nature of the relationship is designed around, us hopping into their business and having a genuine, almost like sitting there as like an additional leader inside the business, working out what decisions to make and what decisions to not make that would protect them from, you know, having fuck-ups, the same ones that we've had or same ones we've seen other clients have or whatever it is at the same time as well. So the nature of the relationship is always designed around problem solving and curiosity and learning how to better something that exists right now or do more of the same at the same time as well. And because of his curious nature, Clay was asking just a bunch of questions last night. Again, being the nature of the relationship, that's kind of the name of the game at the end of the day too. But one of the questions he asked was like, why Faris? Why Kyle? And it was really a beautiful opportunity to be able to get really clear on why both of those people for our team, how we ended up developing those people into the people that they are today, and what the development plan is further, how we allowed a partnership together as the three of us to actually create this like trio right now, which is going to turn into a whole lot more than that, that are just like an essential little powerhouse of a team that are all focused on the same mission, the same vision, and the same consequences if we don't actually bring what we said we were going to do to life at the same time as well. And just by nature of the opportunity of being with both Kyle and Faris right now, I was able to spend probably the past, probably the first half of this week doing a 90-day plan with the guys, right? And the 90-day plan was designed around what happened over the past 90 days, what areas of the business actually need to be, you know, fixed up or whatever it might be, and what areas of the business need to actually have change or possibly eliminate or whatever it is that would help us get towards a goal that we all want to get to. And the goal that we all decided that we wanted to get towards was there's a financial goal, there is some systems goals in the business, but the main one was actually filtering out anything that didn't actually align with our combined vision. Now, I casted a vision for this business a little bit over a year ago that we defined as a limitless vision, where we have a really strong desire to help men fix three core problems. One, which is eliminating sales inconsistency and replacing it with monthly recurring revenue that would not only cover expenses, team, and the obvious day-to-day running of the business, but have a surplus of income coming in on a monthly recurring basis for them, their team, their team's families, and whatever desires they actually want to achieve in their lives. And choosing to get all offer owners and even core team members out of the day-to-day so they can focus on their genius activities at the same time as well, so that everyone can be playing to their strongest suit and actually create the life that they all want to, while reinvesting the profits that exist in the business into property or some form of investment, so that in 10, 15 years, maybe they never have to work again, they just choose to, or whatever it is, from the actual investments coming in at the end of the day. And I think that the main purpose of this is that the idea behind it is, I think that everyone has the ability to be what we describe as limitless, right? You can have the best family and network and partnerships in the world. You can have the body that you want because you're able to actually still focus on good health at the same time as well. You can have the financial resources that you actually want at any point in time. And you can have the faith and belief in yourself and the faith and belief in your team to be able to create whatever the fuck you choose to by filtering those out as a natural consequence of doing those activities. Now, the reason that I share that is because all three of us have a similar desire to create something for that. And we have a desire to eliminate the conversation around the dinner table where you have your wife, a partner, asking the question, when the fuck is this ever going to change? We want to eliminate the question or there being any question of not being able to create the life that you have decided that you want to create. And this is as a combined trio mission that we're looking to actually, you know, go heavier and harder with at the same time as well. This is what keeps us together as the glue. And we just work out what needs to happen between the three of us in order for us to actually create the world that we desire to create, if that makes sense, right? But it didn't always start out like that. And the question that I got asked is like, why Faris and why Kyle? Everything I just suggested is what keeps us together with the glue. But why Faris and why Kyle? Now, both of these absolute fucking legends I've had in my life for probably the fat end of 2 years at this point in time. I had the privilege of being able to actually train them up in a lot of the skills that they did have. They were already great with what they did before they actually came into our world. But training them in main income producing activities and main successive client activities at the same time as well, for the both of them, right? And as opportunity rose for us to have the need for creating new team members on the team. It's like when we needed appointment takers and sales team or client success or marketing managers or whatever it is, the first thing I always do is look at my existing network of people and think, who in my existing network of people right now would do a better job than me at the thing that I'm asking of them to do? And what the fuck would it take in order for me to be able to have the conversation with them in a way that there is combined value that leads to a combined mission that leads to a probability of it being a fucking great partnership in some way, shape, and form. And when the idea of needing to get myself out of the day-to-day operations in client success, while still making sure I put all the effort into the clients when I have the time that we do spend with clients. But when I knew that I needed to actually take that over so I could start focusing on the growth of the company, there was a part inside me that was just like, oh, it has to be Farris, right? And the reason why I thought of it that way is because every time I would speak with Farris about some form of client success, his curiosity around that topic was just so high. The amount of questions he would ask was just fucking through the roof, because his core desire was around like the excitement behind what made the client successful. And when I was like fully aware of that, it was it would have been irresponsible of me for me to would not have had a conversation with him around, do you see a possibility of us actually partnering up in some way, shape, and form to be able to create the same combined skill sets to create one of the best programs in the world for, you know, changing human development to actually ensure that there is a real, real shift in the person who decides to put their trust in us to change their lives, right? And he came on board, but it wasn't just that made the huge difference, because there was a lot of resistance in the beginning, right? Just like everyone, when there's change involved, resistance is just behind, like just around the corner in some way, shape, and form. And there was something that I had to do that I don't think a lot of people put the effort, energy, and nature into. And I did the exact same thing with Kyle, because Kyle's story was no different at all. Kyle was someone that I'd trained up on appointment setting and sales within itself. And when the opportunity came for us to put more setters on the team, whatever it was, and bring more sales team in, because I knew that the quality of work that the person was doing and the curiosity behind their desire to be better in that first in their skill anyway, it became really easy to be able to ask, you know, how the hell do we do this, right? How the hell can we make this work, and how the hell can we make this shit work together? And something I think a lot of people miss is the more marketing you do publicly, the more you actually share the skills, the intricacies of the ins and outs of the actual delivery that you do for people, the more people you actually train on being a great team member for you, if you choose so for that to be. Because the more content you put out, the more people are going to reach out, the more people they reach out, the more questions they ask, the higher the curiosity is for the task. And there's going to be some A players in there with some good development and good nurturing at the same time as well. And I think that too many people don't actually look in their existing network for creating an unbelievably strong relationship with the team, a possibility of a team member. And they end up hiring people who have no affinity toward them at all, and end up in a position where they end up, the partnership doesn't work out. It ends up being a shitty situation for all. And there was people in their audience who would have killed to have had the opportunity to work with them in the first place anyway. Now, when you bring that conversation to them, though, there's a level of resistance, because change is scary. Change is the 80-pound gorilla that's waiting to fuck people up if it goes wrong, right? Because that's something that goes inside someone's head. So once once you can find the person, then it's about speaking truth into the person, right? And when I was speaking with Clay about this, this is something that, funnily enough, he actually mentioned that I actually did with him on the call when I actually enrolled him into our service. I remember as I was speaking to him, just knowing how they've been operating their consulting business so far, knowing the resources they have available, i.e. the list of people, i.e. the team they have on board, and the the resources of the list, the team they have on board, the skills they have, and the way in which they think, so their thinking patterns, and An example of that is like they're already in a fairly strong growth mindseted frame that didn't have the, you know, the lower level thoughts of major fear taking over at any point in time. But the vision that they had was really high. Now, all the core ingredients there and the way that they were thinking made me believe, and I could see, oh shit, these guys actually have the possibility of, if done correctly, actually being an eight-figure business. And at that point in time, I chose to share that with Clay and chose to share my beliefs around that and spoke what I believe to be true into them, which created another level of possibility for them and their team. And, you know, in the space of 4 months, they've already grown 3.5 times in their business. And, you know, as we continue to actually keep growing the team that they have, they will continue to move forward toward the actual truth that I was able to speak toward into them, which is, you know, becoming an eight-figure company. Now, I had to do the exact same when change was fear-based around the corner, when Faris and Kyle were deciding to possibly join the team that I had, you know, trying to recruit and bring people into. And I had to help them see that they had the ability to become one of the best at the skills I was asking of them to actually do. Because everyone has a core desire inside to have a couple of different things. Compensation is the first thing. Everyone wants to get paid, right? But the second thing is opportunity, right? Now, if you can give someone an opportunity to be able to actually eliminate everything other than the thing that exists in their genius and make sure they're still compensated just as much as they might have been making by themselves on their own or whatever it is, people almost always entertain the conversation with you because the idea is they get to do whatever the fuck they are absolutely best at and not have to worry about all the other stuff and actually make sure that they get remunerated in the way that they actually would have been in the first place anyway. So what I chose to do was speak truth into both the team members that we have that are on board, that are long-term, that are actually A players that we help develop in some way, shape, and form to get there in the first place, and help them see that, oh, they could actually be world-class and one of the actual top influencers in the respective departments that they're actually in right now, which is why you see as a team, we all do content, which is why you see us all talk about the respective benefits that our departments have, not just to our client list, but to the market at large, right? Because we all have a healthy concern for what's wrong in the market, and we want to be able to fill a lot of holes and fix it up for the right people. And you'll see the more effort we put into speaking truth of the genius we can see inside someone, the more they'll start believing and the more they'll start acting in accordance of becoming the genius that they already were. And when Clay asked me this question, it was like, yeah, there's a little bit of a method to the madness, right? The next thing that needs to happen if you are going to speak that truth into them is there needs to be a development pathway that has two tracks to it. The first track is if you're going to speak truth and genius into someone, i.e. you'll be a great in client success, you'd be great in appointment setting, or even if you're speaking to a client, right? You would be great at X, Y, Z or whatever it is, right? Here's my reasoning. Here is my evidence. Here are the examples. And you truly speak truth and actually open up a realm of possibility in their eyes. Then there needs to be two development tracks, right? So development track number one is how do you then nurture the skill and make them even better at it? For me, I know I'm pretty dumb. What I'm good at is seeing genius in people and being able to bring that out in them. And if you guys have read Benjamin Hardy's book, Who Not How, I'm starting to be a lot better at this. I'm starting to actually do a whole lot more who not howing, which is essentially instead of trying to figure out how to do something, I'm trying to figure out who do I know can actually do this better than I could, or at least support in some way, shape, and form. And for Faris, I immediately found someone who was going to be great in developing the other skills in client success for him, and immediately invested into actually putting him into that program so he could actually you know, develop skills even better and better and better and better and better, which is just amplified in multitudes in a way to actually create the results for our clients and increase the skill and genius within him, which just increases the ability to actually create more in the market at the same time too. And like, I got to be honest, the business would be nothing without him. The business would be nothing without Kyle either, right? I am indebted to these guys to the end, and this is why I work so fucking hard to ensure that there is a development pathway skill-wise, and then a development pathway in opportunity as well, right? I've promised leadership in the team to be able to actually get themselves out of the day-to-day and be able to actually be in a management and leadership position in the company, which is only a natural consequence of making sure the skills are good and that I can get myself out of the day-to-day at the same time as well, and that there is more than enough profit to be able to actually do that at the same time too. So the three things that must be true to be able to bring that level of A player in is they must already have the actual foundations of the skills that exist. The second thing is you must speak truth of the genius into them and help them see that there's more that they could possibly be doing with what they already love on a daily basis. Step three is you must actually create a development pathway in opportunity and in skill development. So opportunity being how do they develop in the company? How do they become a leadership or management position? And how do they get team under them so they can run their own teams? And then how do they get the skills to be able to go from genius to genius creator themselves within the company at the same time too? And then it's just about maintaining the vision and making sure that they can see what is coming at all times and what part they play in it so they can actually stay, be excited, and actually have this wow factor to the impact that they are creating as a collective as opposed to in a silo isolated by themselves. And that's what really makes everything shift and change. And when Clay asked the question, it was, for me, it was like, okay, I actually have a really good answer to this. And I think what I'd like to impart as a little bit of wisdom to anyone else, because Clay seemed to find it pretty interesting when I spoke it, when I spoke this into him last night as well, is that the people who you genuinely want in your world, the people who would probably be better at running your company than you are probably already in your network right now. And if you were to just be open-minded about how you approach finding who would be better at doing it than you, as opposed to trying to figure out how to do it, and find those people by being a natural consequence of you marketing what you do and how you do it and them learning the way you do it already, people are going to actually already love what you do, the values you hold, and the mission that you're on if you market that effectively. And you'll know there's people in your audience that are worth speaking to. And when you do put some form of recruitment type messaging out there, they will be the first to opt in. And then it's about speaking genius into them and then making sure that you have a development pathway for them and make sure there's opportunity for them to grow further within the company at the same time as well. Even if it's not like concrete, it just needs to exist so they believe that there is a possibility of that happening at the same time as well. And then your job, once you've enrolled into that, is just fucking make it happen, right? I love the way we do things here. My hopes are that we get to do this for the next decade, right? The really cool thing about it is when you do market when you build the audience, do the marketing, and teach people what and how you do it, you create a world where there is this, there's a natural feedback loop of people already loving what you're doing and they already are being upskilled by you without you even knowing that it's happening. Then when you put out some form of marketing collateral, they will opt in because most people are craving the ability to do things on a team as opposed to by themselves. I actually proved this just recently because we were looking to actually bring new closers in, and we kept falling short because the closers that we were bringing in didn't have a level of natural affinity to us. So what I started doing was I started building an audience of closers just by adding people who I knew were good closers on Facebook, engaging on their stuff, building a bit of a relationship with them. And then I started doing some form of marketing, suggesting that we were looking for someone, suggesting all the issues we've had in the past, suggesting all the opportunity and development structures that we do have in place. And the influx of people that we had come in was unbelievably wild, because a lot of these people were already in the network that we just didn't know existed at that point in time, which is really fucking cool. It just so happens that we chose to go a different way about bringing sales reps in. We're going to start doing a sales program that actually creates them internally within our own company already. But it proved that in a really short period of time, about 3.5 weeks, I was able to build an audience of those people, build a relationship with them, teach them a bunch of stuff that we're already doing. And when I put out the recruitment-based marketing around actually bringing those people in with examples of why it didn't work in the past, what the development opportunity structure is, the people who actually reached out to us were people who were coming from offers where they were already making like 20 grand a month as a closer, if that makes sense, right? And that alone should speak that if you put the right things out there and actually teach effectively, your long-term A-playing team are out there waiting for you to actually have the balls to have that conversation with them and as a team be able to create the mission that you are going on by your, possibly by yourself or with a smaller team right now, and be able to create the vision that you have inside your head and the life that you all deserve at the same time as well. And I just thought I'd share this because I thought it was a really cool conversation with Clay last night. Farris was sitting there. He's like, yeah, this is actually pretty good stuff. You should probably put something out about this. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll do that. And my suggestion is that if you are looking to create something that has more of an impact than your own activity that you can put out there to the world, i.e. you don't want to do it alone and you don't want to do it with just, you know, one person behind it. You want to create possibly a small team, 3 to 5 people where you can do probably $3 to $5 million a year. And then make sure that all your clients get the world's best results, keep them forever, and find a way to reinvest those profits into property or investments that actually, you know, compound so you can buy yourself more income. My suggestion is to do it that way. And if you would ever like to talk about how we could possibly do that together with you as well, feel free to reach out. It's what we're really good at. We love doing it. We've helped over 300 clients create a reality they didn't know was possible for them prior to starting with us too. And I hope this is helpful in some way, shape, and form. Love a lot of you. Speak to you soon. Peace.